evening. Before we start with Siman Tov Resh Nun Ches, just an interesting Chassam Sofer I want to share with you regards to Nittel. Nittel is an ancient minhag. It's actually brought down in Rishonim already, Nittel. There's one or two Mekoros in Rishonim about Nittel Nacht. And it's very interesting. What's the pashtus? Why some people refrain? Have you heard of this minhag? It's an ancient minhag. Nowadays, the Chassidim are makbid on it. In the Litvish world, they've accepted it. The minhag of not learning on the night of the 25th. Where does that come from? Does anybody know where that comes from, that minhag? Yeah. Some say 24th, some say 25th, and some, yeah.
Gave a shiur one.
Who is that?
Yeah. Spoke about it once, and he gave about eight different.
Yes.
Makoros.
There's many makoros and many reasons, yeah. Some say that it was just a practical reason that, the pashtus, what most people understand is that there's such a gewaldig tumult that night, that it's, better not get too busy on the night of so much tumah, because all the goyim, they are very busy doing their own things, and it's better to keep calm. That's one approach which needs to be understood as well. But others understand for practical reasons. It's definitely some achronim, right, that it's because it was dangerous in some villages. The goyim used to get very particularly drunk and particularly dangerous. So just for a practical reason, many people refrained from going in anywhere near Beis Medrash and used to not go out. But the most interesting and a very widely quoted Chassam Sofer says the following. And that's such an interesting Chassam Sofer which turns the whole thing around. Chassam Sofer says that it's a beautiful Chassam Sofer. It's such an interesting Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says because because the goyim, they do their avodah, they do that midnight. He said, because of that, it's such a gewaltige kitrik that whilst the goyim do their service midnight, they were all eaten doing at midnight. That's right, everybody's sleeping. He said, it's a gewaltige kitrik. The goyim are all waking up and doing their things, and all the eaten are sleeping. It's not right. They're doing their service, and the eaten, Havdel, the Yidla are sleeping. It's not right. It's a kitrug. It's accusation of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the Chassam Sofer says that there's an ancient minhag, says the Heilig Chassam Sofer, that Yidla wake up midnight. The Yidla wake up midnight and they learn dafke to balance out this kitrug, this gewaltige tumme that exists by the goyim, to balance this out and counteract this action, the goyim, the service that the goyim are doing to counteract this great tumme that is created at midnight. Because of that, Yid wake up at midnight. Yid themselves wake up at midnight. It's like, but you can't be up the whole night and then be up at midnight as well. Therefore, the minhag has been. So Chassam Sofer explains the minhag. Chassam Sofer says that Yid go to sleep early in order to wake up midnight to counteract the service of the goyim. That's what Chassam Sofer had. Chassam Sofer explains the minhag of Nittel. Isn't that interesting? Chassam Sofer's understanding of it. Pardon? Shem midnight. I know two people who do it. They wake up midnight. Chassam Sofer. They're both actually the sons of Chassam Sofer. They do that. They wake up at midnight. They go to bed earlier, and they wake up midnight to order to learn. Exactly. Yeah, he's one of the people. Yeah. Yeah.
What do the words mean?
Pardon?
What do the words mean?
Nittel. It's actually the Rana already brings the word nittel. I don't know what it's just a nittel. It's just. Yeah. It's spelled nun. Yud, test, lamed. Oh, I see. Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
The calendar. That's why some keep a different little. That's why it depends on. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. My Croatian builders also keep.
Right, so the truth is that it's very interesting to see which Chassidus, or which Mesir, which Minhagim and Ketar Yisrael, it's absolutely consistent with that. Exactly. The Polish, as opposed to Russian Chassidus, they keep different nittles, depends on that, depending on where they're coming from. It's right. Right. Okay, this is just a nice Chassam Sofer which I wanted to share with you. And we're going to be learning some Tov Resh Nun Ches. Tov Resh Nun Ches. Dine Lulav B'Yom Tov Resh. Okay, we're starting a new topic altogether after having completed our halachos of a cotton We're now going to continue from there, page 258. First, there's various halachas over here, various seifi with various halachas. The first seif tells us the following. Min ha-toira, from a Torah perspective, ein mitzvah lulav chutz le-mikdosh. Elo yom rishon. Ve-chachomim tikni she-nitel. Look at that. She-nitel. B'chol mokum kol shema. Says the Shulchan Aruch the following. From a Torah perspective, there was a big difference between shaking Dalet Minim in the Beis HaMikdash and shaking Dalet Minim outside the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Beis HaMikdash only, there is a mitzvah of shaking Dalet Minim throughout the Yom Tov. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah is only Chutz LaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah is only to shake Dalet Minim on the first day. On the first day only. What about the other days? The other days are Medrabanan. So again, there is a difference between Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah is to shake Dalet Minim Medrabanan all the days, as opposed to outside the Beis HaMikdash, where the mitzvah is only on the first day. It says in Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot Aleph, Eloyim Rishim, Dekziv V'samachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. So the pasuk says, "V'samachtem," you should be happy. Lifnei Hashem, be happy is not a concise translation. V'samachtem is a simcha, a more holy level of simcha. Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, yeah, that's right. Ruchnis tiga simcha. Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, shivas yomim, 7 days. V'haynu b'mikdash, this is in the Beis HaMikdash. Aval b'shar Eretz Yisrael, but outside Eretz Yisrael, and in fact. Outside, that's all as well. Yom Rishon Belvat, Medoraisa, you only shake the first day. Utexiv, Lakartem Lachem, Yom Rishon, pre-Aids. Vechachomim, Tiknu, Shiva, Bechol, Mokoim, Zechel, Mikdosh. And we, the Chachomim, were Mesakan, they established that you should shock Dalet Minim, even outside that, it's all, anywhere in the world, Medrabonon, besides the first day as well. Now, there's a very interesting controversy over here, based on a very, yes, controversial Rambam in Perashat Mishnayos. Have you ever heard of the cult of about the it's actually the to other areas of Halacha as well. What is exactly the Mokum HaMikdosh? There is some who learn, and it's based on a Rambam in Perashat Mishnayos, that it doesn't only mean the Mokum HaMikdosh itself. It may be anything which is beyond the Beis HaMikdosh, anywhere where there was a Yishud, what we call in Yiddish the Altstadt, the old city, may have a level of Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Rambam in Perashat Mishnayos seems to be learning. Consequently, if that's true, that's all called Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, that Yerushalayim also has got that level of Kedusha. But let's be very precise. Yerushalayim doesn't mean, nowadays Yerushalayim is huge. He goes, you know, all the new Yeshuvim, and new, I'm talking about anything that was built over the last 100 years, that's not really called halachically Yerushalayim for some areas of Halacha. What is really called Yerushalayim really is the Altstadt, the old city. Now the Rambam seems to be saying that shaking the four minim in Yerushalayim is the same than in the Mikdash. Consequently, what would be the halacha? What comes out from that?
But then if one lived in the old city, it would be the Raisa all the day.
Very good. Comes out that shaking Dalet Minim in the Holy of Yerushalayim, well, not Holy of Yerushalayim, in the old city of Yerushalayim, you're actually fulfilling the Raisa. Does that make any implication, halachically? Does that make any implication? Yeah, what's the implication? Very good. Very good. Implication number one. We know that there's many differences between the first day and second day. Many psulim, we say, well, if it's the first day, it's a problem. After that, it's all right. So what happens if somebody's got one of those psulim and he lives in the old city? What's going to be the halacha then? No good. That's right. So the poskim agree that you have to be, according to this opinion of the Rambam, you'll have to be careful that everything that the Dalet Minim that you've got should be kosher like on a deraisa level also for the first days. But more importantly, what do you think about the following shaila? Do you think that a person who lives, well, you live in Yerushalayim for a bit? Mm. Where do you live?
First year I lived in
Noemema. Okay, Noemema. Say somebody lives in Noemema, in Hanof. Wells. Shai Chesed. Okay, Shai Chesed is very convenient because you're just around the corner from the old. Does anybody have an obligation to go to the old city, to go to the Kosel, to shake Dalet Minim there? Why? Because you'd be fulfilling the Raisa. Again, if you live in Ramot, You live in Shu'afat. You live in Ramat Eshkol. You go shokling down at meaning there on the second day, on the third day, on the fourth day. What are you fulfilling? At the Rabbanon. What about if you go to the old city? What are you going to be fulfilling there? On the third day? At the Raisa. So, if you live in Shu'afat, this is a good one because that's, you can really literally walk down. It's not a big deal. Is there any mitzvah, any obligation to go down from Ramot or from wherever you are to go to Shaar HaChesed, to go down to the Kosel and Shokot Al Aminim there? What do you think about that, Rabbi Yisai? Do you have an obligation to do that? To fulfill a deraisa?
No, well, practically speaking,
if everyone went. You say that, it would be a bit, it would get a bit busy there, yeah, okay. Yes?
It's done as cubits. It's the same as if you bench and you're not really hungry, but you're not really full up. You still have the bench with the Rabbanon, though. You could eat more in the bench with the
Raisa. Right, you don't have to put yourself in the situation of being the Raisa. Hey, does anybody agree to that? Do you think you have to go to the coastal to shake down a minimum there to fulfill the Torah level?
Especially, as you said, if you're in Shabbat Chesed, then it's a walking distance.
You might as well. But that means you do have to go every day? Or once?
It's once a
year. Right, you might as well go every day. Yeah. What do you think about that? You have to go every day? No? Why? Because it's a cubis. That's an interesting point. Yeah, what do you think?
Separate from the Arba Minim, one has a hiyuv, if one's there, to go on the Shalosh Shlagorim to the...
Nowadays as well. Okay. So I'll tell you that, and this is the consensus of the post-kim, is that you don't have to. For two reasons. First of all, this Rabbam, not everybody agrees to that Rabbam. Many acholim acholik on this. And they say that there's no obligation, there's no deraisa level, there's no fulfillment of the deraisa in Yerushalayim. It's just Bezman HaMikdash, and nowadays this doesn't exist anymore. So that's, many acholim learn like that. Besides that, it could be that even if there is such a Rabbam, and even if you do pass, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to go, but what you're saying, there's no obligation necessarily to go and fulfill a deraisa level. However, having said that, based a bit what you were saying, if there is something that Shlomo Zalman was making, Shlomo Zalman whenever he used to make a point of going to the coastal on Chol HaMoed, he used to make a point. Shlomo Zalman, whenever he did go to the coastal, he asked someone, "Do you mind, can I have your Dalet Minim?" And he used to shake the Dalet Minim in front of the coastal to fulfill this opinion. So the consensus seems to be that you don't really have to go make the extra step. But if you're anyway there, why don't you fulfill the Raisa as well? That seems to be the consensus of the post-kim. That's what the Shlomo Zalman was making. I don't think it's a halacha, but it's definitely something, it's good to, it's a nice additional point to know, this opinion. It's nice to fulfill them if you can. Yeah.
Gedarim, what's constituted part of Yerushalayim according to that Rambam on the Parish of Christ? Is that the same Gedarim together as Purim?
No, not exactly. No. Yes, it's not exactly the same. It's not exactly, because this is dependent on the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, Bizman HaMikdosh, and this is about when there was a Choyim around Yerushalayim, it's a little bit different. Okay. Continues the Sif, based on Shulchan Aruch. B'yom Shabbos. What about on Shabbos? Fulfilling the mitzvah of Dalet Minim on Shabbos. B'yom Shabbos. Eino noitel afilo im yom rishon. He does not take, you don't shokel Dalet Minim on Shabbos, even if it's the first day. What was this year? This year wasn't. Even the first day Sukkot falls on Shabbos, we all know you don't chuck Dalet Minim. Why is that? Why don't you take Dalet Minim on Shabbos? Mitzvah Deraisa, why don't you take it? Very good. Says the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Beis, and the Lord tell can't dig no Chachamim. This is an establishment of the Chachamim. Why? Mishum Gzeira, it's a Gzeira. Maybe he's going to take the Dalet Minim, and he's going to schlep it around Abba Amos for Amos Boshus Rabbi in the public domain, and he's going to be over the Raisa. The Chachamim have done something fascinating. They've uprooted the Raisa, a Torah mitzvah that are uprooted. Why? Could be that somebody's going to come once, that actually shokling is not really a problem. There's not, you're doing any issa by shokling. It's unlike shofar. By shokling Dalet Minim, you're not doing anything wrong by shokling Dalet Minim. So, but what could be that somebody's gonna lives in a place where there's a public domain. He says, "Oh, I completely forgot what bachot you make. What bachot you make?" And he has completely forgotten. He also has forgotten how to shake. He's forgotten how to shake. I forgot how to make a bachot. Well, he goes to his friend, but in order to go to his friend and ask him for details, what is it? He needs to cross the M1. So he needs to cross the public domain, and he's going to be over. So because I were worried about that, I said, no, Chomi said, forget it. We're concerned. Maybe somebody's going to do an Aveira in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So Chomi said, okay, forget it. We're not doing the mitzvah at all. Forget it forever. The mitzvah of Sheikh Nalat Minim on Shabbos forever being cancelled. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Correct. You don't really need to ask him more than that. Also, you can fulfill the mitzvah without making a bracha either. So according to both understandings, as you look in Shari Tzion Tzivkot Na'alef, Leilech Etzel HaBokeh Lilmoid Ninuoy Oy Birkosoy, either way, there's some akif. You can fulfill the mitzvah just by holding. And if you don't make a bracha, if you don't chuckle, but nevertheless, we are concerned somebody's going to make a mistake. It's a genuine mistake. He could fulfill the mitzvah, but we're concerned somebody's going to ask somebody for it. Although it's not akif. We're still concerned about it. Right. This is actually mamash fascinating. It's mamash fascinating. This is the same gzera that we find also with Tkiah Shofar and also with regards to reading the Megillah on Shabbos. We never read, even if Purim falls on Shabbos, we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. Why? Because we're concerned, gzera d'rover, that somebody's going to start carrying it on Shabbos. It's really, really a powerful, a very interesting, very, very interesting gzera. Right. Okay. Consequently, says the Ramah, the also netalta aluv b'Shabbos. Consequently, this is not the reason. This is a consequence. Since the Chachamim said you don't shock it out at minimum, therefore the lulav becomes mukta. Also netalta aluv b'Shabbos. Tavakev, it's like a stone. I just want to get this very clear because it's very irritating when you hear somebody say. Children sometimes say that, you know, that the. Why don't we shake Dalet Minim on Shabbos? So they say it's because it's Muktzah. This is totally wrong. Although they're right, but it's totally wrong. It's totally wrong. It doesn't go that way around. The Lulav is only Muktzah because Chachamim made Gzeira Derova. Chachamim said you don't shuckle Dalet Minim on Sukkos. And because of that, there's no use. And since Lulav has no use, therefore it becomes Muktzah. That's the way it works. Does that make sense? It's not intrinsically Muktzah. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not the right answer. Why don't you shuckle Dalet Minim? So you don't say it's because it's Muktzah. It's a consequence, not a reason. Pardon? Pardon? Yeah, tefillin is a bit, it's even more because, yeah, it's, yeah, a little bit, yeah. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Tzivkot and Gimel, Halulav V'Yantina Arovas V'Adassim, the same as applies with Lulav Arovas and Adassim, that Muktzah as well. The Havaka Ever, says the Mishnah Berurah in Tzivkot and Dalet. It's like a stone. V'Afir Letzer Gufa Mekoyma, also it becomes totally Muktzah. You can't even carry it for Gufa Mekoyma. It doesn't. It's not the same as shofar. The sharina besoves him a tofkuf peicheset talk that tzurich gufa mekoyma. A shofar is not mukta. The shani asab. Why is shofar? What's the difference? What's the difference between shofar and lulav? Why is a shofar not mukta and the lulav is mukta? Any guess? What do you think, Naftali? Any idea? Why is a shofar not mukta and the lulav is? Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Shani asked him to have a kli v'roi le'ezet ava. You know what you can do really with a shofar? In theory, you can use it. You can really use a shofar for something else. What? You can take water in it. Have you ever tried to scoop out a soup with a shofar? Have you ever tried that? Yeah? In theory, you can do it though. If you want to draw some water, you know, you probably hold the finger one side and you try it out. I can think of two people who are not going to be too happy about it. First of all, the owner of the shofar, and second of all, your wife. But otherwise, try that once. So you really think you can do that. What can you do with a lulav? Absolutely nothing. Can you do anything with a lulav? Absolutely nothing. So as Mishnah Berurah says, a lulav is completely, it's just a wood. Besides the component of being able to do a mitzvah with it, besides the mitzvah element of it, there's nothing you can do with a lulav. As opposed to a shofar really can use for, in theory you could. We're going to get to the esek shortly. You think so? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. You could definitely, yeah. Although, nobody would let you do that. I mean, yeah, yes? That's not an intrinsic. Yeah, but you can't use the lulav. You don't use the lulav. It's not intrinsic. It's better. It's an etzba'alma. So there's a mitzvah that we can fulfill with it. In fact, for the mitzvah, you can learn a lot of relevant halach as well. But it's not intrinsic value in the lulav. This is a shofar's got intrinsic use. You can also use it, lishay by mine. But not, there's not, it's true you can learn the halachas of a lulav, but that's not intrinsic value in the lulav. Yeah? Now, there is a bit of a controversy over here that the Poskim mentioned. And that's a very interesting shaila. And I wonder what you think about this, Rabbi Yisai. What do you think about the halachic status of a lulav by night? So the night before, right? Which day was Sukkot this year? First day Sukkot? Do you remember?
Thursday night?
Wednesday night. See, I don't remember anymore. Wednesday night. Okay, so what was the halachic status? We shook it the first time on Thursday morning. What's the halachic status of a lulav?
Wednesday night.
It's going to have to not be muksa because it was muksa at Beresh Roshes.
So you need it to not be muksa then.
Right. But maybe you're right. That's true when the first. It's a very good svara that. But that's if it's the initially. If the starting point is that it's muksa then he's got to remain muksa for the rest of Yom Tov. You're quite right. But over here, it's the other hand. We know that intrinsically. The first stage is that it's not mukta because I'm going to use it. But the question is, now that I can't have it and use it, on Thursday morning it's for sure not going to be mukta. But now that I can't use it on by night, maybe it's just mukta then.
Right.
There's no such thing as, because of Mega Diskatsoi, there won't be such a thing. Does everybody agree to that? What's the halachic status of a lulav on Wednesday night?
Fine.
Everybody agrees to that? Pardon? Unbelievable. Look at that. Says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, that it's definitely not muktzah, although there are some achmirim. Rabbi Lashi was not so convinced. Rabbi Lashi was a bit choshesh lahachmir. But Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says it's definitely okay. He said he can't be muktzah, and he says more than that. He says it's well known that some of the previous gedolim, they used to practice, mamash like you were saying, used to practice the na'anuim by night. They used to practice na'anuim, and they said the following. Look at that. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, you heard from his rebbes. Listen to that. How interesting. He said that when there's a soldier who has an appearance before the king, he needs to get absolutely, you know, he needs to do his actions with perfection. Have you ever seen the guard, what's it called, in Buckingham Palace, what are they called again?
Changing
of the guard. So it's in Bamish absolute perfection. Bamish perfection. They need to practice for, how long is their training?
Years
of training. He said, why? Because they're appearing. I don't even know if they're appearing in front of the world. Do they appear in front of the world? It's just a show. Okay, but we can imagine if somebody really appears in front of the world, it needs to be absolute perfection. So he said, what's the difference? Somebody who shackles the lulav, he should also, he needs to practice as well. So Shabbos, because there's no mitzvah. So then there's no point of practicing. But on Wednesday night, when on Thursday morning is the mitzvah, Shofar, why is that? A shofar, no. A child, that's a sukkah in its own. Sukkah in its own, what about the children? Okay, in Modi no soy, okay. But, so he says that, therefore, it's the right thing, it's actually right to practice to shokel the dalaminim. He says some gedolim used to practice shokling dalaminim by night, and he said it's certainly not mukta. What about the other side of the coin? What about shokling dalim? Is the lulav muktzah after you've used it for the mitzvah?
What's the same thing.
You don't really need it anymore. Why has it not become muktzah now?
What's the starting point? It's not muktzah anyway ever, except that they made it also to shake on Shabbos, and then it became muktzah because it had no.
Very nice.
Why is it, you can make anything you like, muksa. You can say, I finished my lunch and shabbos. Right.
So
the leftovers are muksa now.
Very good. It's very good. And Shlomo Zalman says that. Very good. That's true. Now, you can't just make something muksa for partial, there's no thing. Right. Yeah, but the question is just based on the idea that now there's no usage anymore. And even that assumption is not necessarily true because, you know, maybe you want to give it to your son, maybe you want to shackle again, maybe you want to give it to your wife. So that it's based on our assumption, which may not be accurate anyway. But even if you're sure nobody's going to use it in the house, even then it will actually become mukta. Right. Okay, what about the esek? Continues the Ramah. Come back to your question about the esek. Avalo esek muta betiltul d'roi l'ariach boy. So the esek is actually okay. Is that what you mentioned? You can actually smell it. The esek has got a good smell. Right, yeah, right. So it's actually fine. As Esrog is not mukta because you can smell it. The also litna are back. Right, so let's stop here for a minute. And Esrog is, it smells good, and therefore it's not mukta. Do you normally smell your Esrog?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do? Right. Right, right, right. It's a good point. Do you smell your Esrog on Shabbos? Because Rav Yashiv is a bit, he said that nowadays, is that people don't, they wouldn't smell the Esrog nowadays so much anymore. I mean, especially on Shabbos, there's no real need where you're going to start smelling your Esrog on Shabbos. So some are machmi nowadays, including Abshalom Zalman. They said that maybe it's mukta nowadays. And I want to add another point as well. Pardon? We don't smell the Esrog on Shabbos. You're not going to start smelling an Esrog. It was more of a common thing. It was more, you see that, a stam Esrog, we've seen the Gemara's times, and Esrog used to have, I don't know if the smell was stronger or not, I don't know, but it was definitely something that you frequently used to smell it. We're not that busy with it nowadays. Also, there's another point as well. There's a mukta machmas chison kiss. If something is particularly expensive and valuable, it becomes mukta anyway. Do you think that an Esrog may be mukta machmas chison kiss?
It would be on Yom Tov too, if that was the case.
Right.
So
right.
You can use it Yom Tov,
right.
You can't.
If it's the same one, yeah. Yeah. However, it's interesting to note that the poskim are machmir with regards to an Esrog. What do you think about somebody who sells a soygim? He's got boxes of a soygim in his house. And he wants to sell them. What about that? Are they mukta?
That's because he looks at dieters from it because they're schoira.
100%. It's a schoira, that's right. Absolutely correct. And they're actually going to be mukta. They're actually going to be mukta. Yeah, they are going to be mukta. Yeah. Right. And then. Finally, just to finish off the Ramah, the Osrit Nala Beged, Afilo B'Yom Tev. You're not allowed to put the Esrog on clothes, even on Yom Tev, the Moilid Rechu, because you're creating a nice smell. Moilid Reach is an Issa Drabonon. You're not allowed to create a smell, a good smell. You're not allowed to do that. It's a Gzera, Moilid Relach, and therefore it's going to be also. Mishnah Mutzif Cotton Zion says, the Moilid Recha, Baveged, on the clothes, have a Tikkun Mona. It's a Tikkun Mona, therefore it's also. Even if that's not your intention, it's nevertheless going to be also. You're not allowed to put any Esrog that has a very strong, good smell emerging from it. You're allowed to put it on any cloth because you're molid reach. Even if that's not your intention, it's inevitable that there's going to be some smell penetrating into the garment, and therefore it's a psikresha, it's also. Some say that if it's not your intention, it's actually going to be a psikresha on lichalei, on a drabon, which is okay. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be making, I want to just emphasize, it's actually important Mishnah Berurah over here, because the Mishnah Berurah is makel, with the rule that comes out from this Mishnah Berurah is that a psikresha, the loy nichalei, by an isad rabbanon is actually okay, but yevet. There are another example, so that's a psikresha, the loy nichalei, by the rabbanon is okay. There's other Mishnah Berurah which seems to be source of this, but the rule of it that seems to be that, b'shas adchak, a psikresha, the loy nichalei, by an isad rabbanon is okay. I'll give you another example for that. Another example would be if a bird coming into your dining room on Shabbos. You're just mainly having you're eating your meal, and suddenly a bird comes in. Okay, imagine, could that, such a thing happen? Yeah, a bird comes into your house. Now, the window's open, and you want to close the window now. You want to close the window, you're worried that maybe another bird is going to come in, or it's getting chilly, you want to close the window. Are you allowed to close the window or not? Why are you allowed to close? It's trapped already. It's not really trapped, because the window is open. So is it salt? Are you allowed to close the window now? Are you trapping that bird?
There's something like there's something if it can fly around the rafters, you never catch it even within the house.
Good. So very good. That makes it into the Rabbanon. That's actually true. That's actually what Mishnah Berurah says. La'alocha, you're allowed to close the window. Why is that? You're trapping the animal. You're trapping an animal, why are you allowed to do that? So the answer is because the trapping of it is only trapping of the Rabbanon. And this is, although it's a psikresha, it's inevitable you've got a trapping. But if you're closing the window, you don't really care about the animal being, it's not your intention to trap the animal, you're just closing the window because it's getting chilly. So that's a psikresha lo nichale, but it's a Rabbanon, and that's going to be okay. B'shas adchak, like the Mishnah Berurah is paskening over here. So again, the rule is that a psikresha lo nichale of an Issa Rabbanon is okay, b'shas adchak. And also Mishnah Berurah paskening over here as well. That if you're allowed to put your Esrog on garments, although there's going to be some smell penetrating into the garment, it's a psikresha lo nichale of an Issa Rabbanon, b'shas adchak, it's okay.